Time for Rhyme. On Tuesday, Starline Books in Chattanooga hosts The Poetry of Humor. The event's organizer is Ray Zimmerman, who stopped by our studio, along with Kemmer Anderson and Mark Anderson. Related, they tell me, only as poets. Ray, Kemmer, Mark, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
88.1 celebrates poetry. We're glad to be here.
We sure do.
Sweet.
So tell us about this event coming up, The Poetry of Humor at Starline Books.
Okay, it is the final Tuesday of July, the 30th, and it is a fifth Tuesday event. When I started doing events at Starline Books, I was busy with a lot of other things. I didn't want to commit to doing one every month, so I said, I'll do one every fifth Tuesday, which works out to four events a year. And we've had a different focus, and it's changed and evolved as time's gone by. We did one called Favorite Poem for a while, where I just asked people to bring their favorite poem and read it. And we've done ones that have featured specific authors, usually two or three in dialogue with each other, doing poems on same subject. I think Kemmer did one of those with another poet named Finn Billy, where one of them did a fishing poem, and the other one said, oh, I've got a fishing poem. And one of them did a poem about geese, and the other one said, I have a poem about geese. So it's changed, but this time around, I thought maybe the poetry of humor would be an interesting thing to try. It's experimental, so I have no prediction as to how many people will show up or how it will go, but I guarantee you that some things will be funny. I've got a backup for those who are not spoken to by the muse. I have a copy of The Best of Ogden Nash, who is one of America's famous funny poets, and those who have nothing of their own to read are welcome to read from that.
The poetry of humor, that can cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, yeah. I'm asking people to be gentle. I don't want to get too far into biting satire, which can be really funny, but really hurtful, too. So this is more focused on gentleness, kindness.
How did you get interested in poetry?
I got interested in poetry really by mistake. I was writing a lot of essays, and I joined this Chattanooga Writers Guild, and they had a nonfiction group, but they had a poetry group, and I heard some of their poems and started writing poems of my own and joined their poetry group. And from there, I've published a few and written a lot more than what I've published and had a good time with it.
And Kemmer, how about you? How did you get interested in poetry?
Robert Frost reading at John Kennedy's inaugural.
Mm.
I just started writing poems and then had a Young Turk for an English teacher at Davidson, and you could write poems to complete an assignment.
And Mark, how about you?
Oh, I just have a crazy imagination and found funny ways to express it.
Poetry has a lot of that, that's for sure. And each of you has brought poems with you. So, Ray, let's start with you.
All right. This first one is a poem dedicated to America's largest salamander, which is funny enough in itself, I think. But if you've never seen the Hellbender, there is one on the second floor of the Tennessee Aquarium, and it's a monstrous-looking thing for a salamander. And this is Ode to the Hellbender. She curls among the tumbled rocks and waits for a crawfish dinner. If she doesn't find a crawdad soon, tomorrow she will be thinner. She will happily eat a frog or a fish, for she's an agile swimmer. But the crawdad is her favorite dish. It causes her eye to glimmer. Beneath the rocks she laid her eggs, there must have been 100 or more. At parenting she is the dregs. She ate a few just to even the score. Her mate saw this act and chased her away. If eating eggs, she just couldn't stay. He guarded those eggs till they hatched one day. Then he swam away, much slimmer.
And that's a poem that is locally sourced.
Locally sourced, yes. Yeah. They used to be very common in the Tennessee River. They are kind of vanishing species right now.
And you focus a lot on nature, don't you?
I do. Even my humor poems tend to have a nature twist to them.
You handed me a booklet before we walked into this studio. Tell us about that.
We Are Water is a booklet of haiku. There's just a few. I think there are 10 in there. And each one has an accompanying color photograph. The photographs are my own. The haiku are my own. So it was an interesting way of combining two of my interests.
And you have another poem to share with us.
Sure. This is one of those poems that the title seems to have nothing to do with the content of the poem until you get to the end and you say, well, maybe it does. I originally titled it Amorous Alligators, but it's now titled Prom Night. Amorous alligators awaken to red-rimmed sky. Sun going down, they bellow bellicose greetings across the swamp. Looking for some action, a dominant male slaps silent water with his jaw. Lesser males leave the pond to seek action elsewhere, wander through subdivisions. Amorous alligators arrive on decks and porches, bask beneath lawn sprinklers. They give a new meaning to an old country song, looking for love in all the wrong places. One should not fool with amorous alligators high on hormones. Watchful wildlife officers arrive to relocate them, restrict the movements of amorous alligators.
Right.
And a good thing, that too.
Yeah. The alligators in South Florida are expanding their population, and they wander and wander off to other places, and they have to be corralled periodically and taken back to the swamps.
Indeed. Kemmer, you have some poems to share.
I always am rather melancholy mood between nature and justice. And Ray always signs off with his Fireflies website. So I thought we were doing fireflies. But I have two poems on fireflies. And there's a great poem on fireflies by Mary Oliver, which you might find at Starline Books. So this is Fireflies with a Conscience. Fireflies. Fireflies rising from the field on the mountain, swallowed by night, flicker a message of light to a world gone dark, gulping poison sprayed across the earth, dying for poetry's lightning words to bug the conscience with a blinking glow, affirming creation told by a firefly's tail. Yeah. Sat down here and I thought, oh, humor. Well, I just wrote this. It's called Conducting Handel's Firefly Music While Crossing the Market Street Bridge. I wish to write a poem celebrating fireflies to the tune of Handel's fireworks and float around the field like a barge down the Thames River as I conduct a lightning bug orchestra on Wing Shadow Farm.
Mark. Snapping fingers.
Yeah, exactly. Snapping fingers. Snapping fingers to the flashes of the fireflies.
Exactly. This is from my little collection called Dribble and Drool, and it's called Armageddon. One by one they march, tens, hundreds, and thousands of pillaging, looting, ravenous marauders, marching ever on, destroying, devouring, through the day, through the night. What can turn them back? Is there a wall they cannot climb? A pit they cannot forge? Genghis, Kublai, Alexander, Napoleon are mere students. They know nothing of your conquering might. Just one of your soldiers has the strength of 10, but there are thousands, and when they pass, there are more. Oh, to rid my kitchen of these ants.
Know the feeling. And you have another one, Mark.
Oh, my dog.
Yes.
Tried to put my dog in a box, a cute little box, but he would not go in, just wagged his tail. Wanted to play. I tried to put my dog in a bigger box. You know what that dog said? No way, I won't stay. Tried to put my dog in a big box, as big as my house, but he ran away, would not stay. One day I tried to get my dog into a huge box, big as my church. He just turned away. I tried to put my dog into the world's biggest box, big as the sky. I cried and said, why won't you please stay in my box? He just laughed at me and said, you silly boy, you can't build a box big enough for me. And I just will not stay, no way. Then my dog said to me, welcome to my house. There's plenty of room for you here. Won't you please come in?
Mark, how did you get interested in poetry?
You know, I love the visual. Good writing presents a picture in your mind that you can see, and I like to be able to share that. And I was really in Bible school when I was reading these vivid pictures. The biblical poetry inspired me, and that's where it started. That was 20 years ago.
And there's something timeless, whether you're talking about the biblical poetry or you're talking about Shakespeare or you talk about poets in the last century or half century, when it's done really well, when it's evocative, it resonates and it inspires in so many different ways.
Yep.
Do you feel that there's been more of a revival in, let's say, the past 5 or 10 years? Kind of goes in waves, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's broadened with art forms like spoken word. If poetry or any art gets kind of trapped in that ivory tower, it's too complicated, it's not accessible to the average person. I think the wave that we're seeing is an appreciation for all poetry, but more of an accessibility to everyone.
Interestingly, though, once that wave starts to take hold, then people start to look at other poetic forms than the ones that in which they write, and they delve into the history of it. Because I've gone to poetry readings that were almost all modernist, very modernist stuff, and read a pantoum, which is an old form of poetry. And somebody said, well, I want to know about that. What makes a poem a pantoum? And it grows in that respect, too.
I think it's amazing, the slams, the spoken word contests, and that's just bringing high school kids out of the woodwork to break loose from all the composition theory they're forced down their throats, of which I've been a part of teaching. But turning children loose with imagination is the gift that poetry brings.
Hats off to Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah. He's definitely one of my favorites.
For several generations now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and your poetry, and all the best at Starline Books.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Poetry of Humor starts at 6 p.m. on Tuesday at Starline Books in Chattanooga.